Jesus himself, the very Son of God, finds himself at a place in a garden called Gethsemane with his closest friends a ways off, sleeping on the job. And he, in deep prayer, finds himself asking in fervent prayer, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." What is this cup that Jesus is talking about? This cup, a metaphor for our lives. This cup in Psalm 23 and 5 and Psalm 116 and 13 is the cup filled with blessing and salvation. And that same image of the cup in Isaiah 51:17 or Ezekiel 23 and 33, we also see the cup filled with wrath and horror. The cup, often symbolic of God's judgment and his wrath. By going to the cross, Jesus would have to drink all of God's wrath, his wrath for the sins of the whole world. Take a minute and reflect on who you are. Reflect on who you were before you came into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Who you are right now as you struggle to grow in Christ and be more and more Christ-like, and put all that in the cup, and that's just your stuff. And imagine everybody on the phone pouring their own sin into the cup and the sins of the whole world poured into the cup. That's the cup that Jesus looked into, the cup of our sin, the cup of our brokenness, the cup of our depravity, the cup of our disobedience, the cup of our disconnection to God, the cup of our willfulness. Jesus finds himself in prayer, ask God if it was possible, could the cup pass from him? Could he forego the suffering that was in that cup, the physical pain, surely, the emotional pain of separating from God himself, the spiritual pain? Christ in his humanity looked to God for a way out. I know there are times in my own life where I, like Christ, have looked at what I was facing and then looked to God for a way out. But tonight we want to spend a little bit of time talking about discerning and accepting God's will for our lives in the face of adversity, even as Christ in his humanity was looking to God for a way out. Christ in his divinity yielded to God and trusted him for a way through. And tonight, as we think and pray and meditate on this notion of the burden of the cup and the heaviness of it, and how it is that even in the face of adversity, we're called to discern and accept God's will for our lives, even with adversity. We, like Christ, can trust him, not for a way out, because sometimes the only way when adversity comes is through. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just pray. God, I ask that you would use us in this time and in this moment. Open our hearts and our minds. God, most of all, open our eyes and our ears that we might see and hear what you're saying to us in this Lenten season, on this Lenten journey. God, in this period of introspection and God, in this period of self-evaluation, God, we ask that you would turn on the searchlight from heaven. That, God, even on the Monday night calls, God, we might find ourselves looking not to the left, to the right, in front of us or behind us, but looking within ourselves, God, and allowing your spirit through the word of God to cut us and to prune us and to heal us and to deliver us and to set us free, God. That even as we press our way to Calvary, God, that we might find ourselves being perfected more and more in our walk. Oh, God, we thank you now for this season. Thank you for the angel of the house of Varick, in whose heart and mind, God, you conceived this time of sharing. Won't you, God, just continue to knit us all together in love as we walk together by faith. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And so it is this cup that Jesus talked about asking God to let pass from him, this notion of confronting very difficult circumstances and situations. And for some of us, adversity may come every now and again. For others of us, it may seem that we move from one problem, one issue, one predicament or circumstance to another. But all of us have, as human beings, the common experience of having to face adversity. It comes often when we least expect it, and therefore we find ourselves having to grapple with adversity. But I would argue that it's our beliefs about adversity that either help or hinder our ability to discern and or to accept God's will for our lives in spite of whatever the challenge is that we face. Take a minute. What do you believe about adversity? What do you really believe about adversity? What we believe is shaped by what we are taught and also what we experience. And so from what you've been taught and what you've experienced, is adversity something that we believe that if we were really walking with God, if someone were really walking with God, their life should be easy. Everything should come together without stress or strain. That do we believe that hassles, any kind of problems, any kind of setbacks or opposition is in fact proof that we're not walking with God? How many of us have seen somebody going through something and wondered, what in the world did they do? Did they sin? And is that the reason why they are suffering? Do we believe that adversity that comes and stays a while, that is persistent in our lives, issues that just won't seem to go away, really reflect a lack of faith? Because we as the sons and daughters of God have the power to overcome adversity and the adversary. Do we believe that we are somehow supposed to be super conquerors over every situation, that we should be able to speak and it be done, that we should be able to simply exercise victorious faith over every negative circumstance because it's God's will that we never suffer through adversity? Do we believe that adversity is caused by one's personal sinfulness and brought on because of sin or idolatry and the weakness of our defenses spiritually? Do we believe that adversity and temptation or suffering is something that God intentionally sends to discipline us, to purify us and our motives, or to prepare us to serve? Or do we believe that God is in complete control of everything that happens to us, good and bad, and that nothing happens unless it first goes across his desk for approval? Do you believe that adversity is the direct result of some kind of demonic oppression or an attack by the devil? That adversity then validates that we must be on the right path, and when we encounter adversity, it just means that the enemy is trying to discourage or deter us. Finally, do we believe that adversity is simply the necessary consequence of sin having entered the world and therefore affecting believers and unbelievers alike? Can we agree that adversity affects everybody? The Word of God says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Amen. Adversity is a reality coming from four primary sources that we can discern, and it's important for us oftentimes to be able to understand where adversity is coming from and what the source of it is in order for us to therefore know how we are to deal with adversity. Certainly, if you turn to Genesis chapter 3 and look at verses 16 through 18, you know this text well, I have no doubt, as we are in the Garden of Eden and after creation and after God has created everything, including Adam, and then presented him with his helpmeet, Eve. And after Eve has had a conversation with the very crafty serpent, and after Adam has listened to Eve's voice and they have eaten of the forbidden fruit, and after God has come searching for Adam, looking for him, in Genesis 3 and 16, we find these words, and let's actually back up and go to Genesis 4, 3 and 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, that's a fight or a problem, adversity, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so it is, because of the fall of mankind, that's one of the sources of adversity. God himself, you heard the three curses, essentially, on the serpent, the woman, and on Adam, ultimately. But we ultimately live in a fallen world and in a fallen state. And it naturally leads to all kinds of issues that God originally did not intend. Second, some of the choices we make, or I'll speak for myself, some of the choices that I have made have caused me to have to deal with some challenges, some situations, some circumstances. Some choices that I thought I knew best, and I knew what I wanted, and I knew what I wanted to do and what I plan to do, listen to all the I, my own choices, amen, landed me in having to face some adversity. There are some things that we create ourselves. And then, of course, we understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and rulers of darkness, principalities. So we understand that there is also a spiritual fight, that some adversity does come because the enemy himself, who is walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, that he is on his job and making mischief in our lives. Finally, we know that some adversity comes simply because we stand up and say that we are children of the Most High God, and we claim Christ as our Savior and our brother, and therefore we find ourselves the object of persecution and trial and tribulation because of our faith. Those are very different sources of adversity, not any less difficult one from the other, but different sources. And oftentimes we get stuck when we have to deal with adversity in the why me, woe is me, without ever looking and stopping to think about what this is that we're facing, what is the source of it, why are we struggling with it, and what is it that God is trying to do in us, for us, or through us. We often get stuck with what is being done to us and miss what God may be trying to do. My contention tonight is that adversity has a number of impacts and may come for different reasons and to have different impacts on us. Why do I have to face a particular cup or situation or circumstance? Call it what you want to. In some respects, adversity may come and have the impact of checking our attitude about how we deal with things and how we go through things and how we see suffering either. For some of us, when adversity comes, we are striving to go through it in a way that we come out of it better. The challenge for many of us as we struggle in the Lenten season is accepting God's will even as it concerns suffering, and instead of the woe is me and why me that sometimes can lead us to not just being broken, but us being bitter instead of being better. And so sometimes we've got to check our own attitude, and adversity can prove a check on our attitude about suffering, our attitude about adversity as children of God. Do we believe that because we love God and because we serve Him and because we are at Varick or at Clinton or at Union Wesley or at Trinity or at whatever church we're at all the time, every time the doors are open, we should be exempt, therefore, from any issues, any difficulty, any disaster, any distress? Do we believe that we should get a pass because we serve the Lord with gladness? So adversity has a way of checking us. It, of course, has a way of testing and building our courage when we face adversity. Every now and again, as we become more and more pressed by life and some of the challenges that life throws at us, it's how we respond to the challenge that we're facing. And every now and again, adversity will call your courage into question. How is it that Jesus' disciples, men who had hung out with Him and knew Him well, find themselves in a panic when the storm hits and they are in the bow of the ship? When are we called to courage? When the winds in our life start to blow, is our first response fear or is it faith? Adversity can expose where we really are spiritually. Amen. Many of us struggle oftentimes with being honest, and I'll talk for myself again, being honest about the places in my own spiritual walk where I need to be shored up, and adversity comes and begins to press me in ways that I see the places where my faith walk needs to be shored up, where my knowledge of the Word of God needs to be increased, where my wisdom and understanding in Christ needs to be expanded. So for me, it is those times when it seems like, excuse my French, all hell is breaking loose in my life, and it's coming against me from one place to every single angle, that I discover in some of that adversity that I'm not as strong and I don't have it going on as much as I may think I do spiritually. Adversity has a way of stripping us down to our real motives. What is it that we're really after, and what do we really want, and what am I really trying to get done? Oftentimes when adversity comes, sometimes my first response isn't woe is me or why is it happening to me. It is what is this? It's anger and frustration that I've got to deal with yet something else, and that somehow I'm not getting my way, and my response when I'm not getting my way is that I am angry sometimes, as opposed to me being able to step back. And when I am facing opposition in something I'm trying to do, being able to step back and say, wait a minute, I need to check my motives, because why was I trying to get this done? And perhaps me trying to get what I was trying to get done wasn't in the will of God. And so sometimes it has to check my motives. Adversity has a way of reminding us of the power of prayer. James said, you have not because you ask not. And then when you ask amiss. And so even here, when we face adversity, for some of us, depending on our prayer life, the time that we really get in close communication with God is those times when all hell is breaking loose. And yet we forget that there is power in prayer before adversity comes. And oftentimes we need to stay prayed up. That's how we end up being able to face adversity and face it, understanding that God's good and perfect will is to take us through adversity, not so much that God is doing something to us and therefore we need to be mad about it. Adversity oftentimes causes us to affirm our choice to follow Christ. It often calls us to decide whether or not we're going to trust him or whether or not we're going to try to go it alone. Adversity forces us into a place of humility and recognizing God's sovereignty. Job, who the word of God declares was a righteous man who lost it all, and his wife, you know, encouraged him to just curse God and get it over with and die. His friends who came turned out to be of no help. And in the end, Job has to conclude and humble himself before God, recognizing God's sovereignty even in his situation. Adversity impacts us, and it impacts our walk with God. And the question that I have for us tonight is, can you look at a time when you faced tremendous adversity and that particular situation or those circumstances produced some benefit in you that in hindsight you can look and see where God adjusted your attitude, where God helped you overcome fear, where God exposed a place in your own spirituality that needed work and development, where God exposed a motive that you may have had that didn't line up with his word, where God called you to a place of intense prayer where you were able to really feel and sense and experience the power of prayer, where you had to pick between whether or not you were going to serve God or serve man, where you were at a point where you had to surrender and finally say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Have you had any benefits out of your adversity? Most of us can testify that God has, we've come stronger after we've come through. The difficulty with through is a process. That's the difficulty that I find with going through adversity. And the challenge with adversity, no doubt, is the challenge of the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the challenge of having a purpose, and it's the challenge of being able to discern that purpose and being able to face adversity with that purpose and not lose sight of your purpose. Christ himself, who came 42 generations, came to save the world from sin and to reconcile the world back to God in that garden and in that moment of facing that adversity, had to ask the question. Some folks say, well, Jesus already knew that he had come to die. Why would he ask that question? My question back is, wouldn't you ask that question when you really have to stand down the face of sin and stand down that cup of bitterness and shame and pain and difficulty? Wouldn't you want to say to God, can I get a pass? And so discerning God's will, knowing God's will for your life, that's one thing. But being able to continue to walk in God's will and his purpose for your life when it seems like everything that could go wrong is going wrong, and the enemy begins to wear you down mentally and physically and spiritually, the question becomes, can I continue on this Christian journey? Can I do it joyfully? Can I continue to serve in spite of having to go through? Can I continue to lift up the name of Jesus? Can I continue to worship? Do I still see God's hand in my life? And so just a few things about discerning and staying focused on God's will, and then I'll close and we can have discussion. In order for me to know, to discern the will of God and to be able to stay focused on God's will for my life, I've got to walk with God. I've got to do more than know some things about him. I have to know him. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. If I know him, if I am willing to trust him enough to be in an intimate relationship with him, that means that he and I are on speaking terms all the time. That means I am in the Word of God. That means I'm learning about the character of God. That means that I am in prayer, and not just at mealtime or bedtime or the thank you, Lord, for another day, but I am focused in prayer, that he is the one who sets my agenda for the day. He's the one that I consult whenever I need to make a decision, that I am walking with him and he's walking with me. I can know about him, but I can't know the will of God for my life without knowing him. Second, being able to surrender my will or your will to God's. Sometimes we decide what we want to do. We believe we know what it is we're good at and therefore where we want to focus and spend our time. And then we go to God and we just say, God, I thank you. And we want God to be our rubber stamp. We want him to go along with our plan instead of going to God and surrendering. So Christ asked the question, knew his purpose, but he asked the question, God, if it be possible, if there's any other way, won't you let this cup, won't you let this adversity pass by me? But in the end, surrendered his will to God. You and I can't see him as simply saying yes to everything we want to do, but rather flip that. We've got to say yes to whatever God wants to do. I find it hard to believe that God is going to reveal much to me if I'm in an unyielded state and simply saying, my will be done. I've got to be prepared to surrender and say to him, God, whatever your will for me, here I am. Use me, God, to your honor and your glory, whatever that means, recognizing that that is the place where God uses us. And it may mean that God has to break me. I've been there. When I said, God, I want you to use me, the first step to God being able to use me was to break me. And the breaking came through adversity in my personal life, adversity in my physical body, adversity in my family life. But it was because God was having to shift and reorder some things and testing my submission to him. Third, obey what you already know to be God's will. I can only say it this way. Read the Bible. I mean, not just read it, but study the Word of God. God is clear about so many aspects of his will concerning us as his children that if we would just start there with being obedient to the Word of God, we would also be walking in the will of God for our lives and for how we live. Obedience is a first step towards God being able to trust us with any other plans that he has for our lives. Fourth, as I hasten to close, seek godly input. Each of us ought to have at least one godly advisor in our life, somebody that we can honestly talk to, especially when adversity comes and faith may become a little fickle and we may be tempted to waver. We need somebody who is more mature than we are spiritually, who can talk us through, pray us through, walk us through that moment when adversity is pushing up against our purpose that we discern is God's will, and we begin to second guess God. Somebody said that we ought to remember that we are basically a composite of the five people that we spend the most time with. In your leisure time, I want you to jot down the five names of the folk you spend the most time with. And then I want you to look and look carefully at those five names, and do those persons bring a level of spiritual maturity that can help you? Do those persons bring a positive mindset? Do they know the Word of God? Can they encourage you in your faith? For surely where there is no counsel, the people fall. Amen. Fifth, pay attention to how God has wired you and do you. Don't worry about how other folk are flowing in whatever it is that they are doing. Don't worry about who is being recognized for doing something well. You do what God has gifted you to do well, and make sure that your motive isn't recognition, but service to God. Allow Him to do the rest. Sometimes adversity comes because we try to step out of our lane and out of our giftedness and out of our graces because we want to be like someone else, or we see recognition and we desire some of that limelight, and we create situations. And we're talking now in the body of Christ. It happens on our jobs where we step outside of who God created us to be. It's not just knowing the will of God. It's being obedient. And part of obedience is using what God has given you in order to glorify Him. Whatever the gift is, use that. Six, be able to listen to God's Spirit. When you pray, and I pray that we're all praying earnestly and intentionally during Lent, spend twice as much time listening than speaking or talking. This might be a challenge for some of us. It is for me. I'm a motor mouth. Try to keep a notepad handy and identify some questions that you know you need God to speak to you about, that you're seeking an answer about. Questions like, what's the next step in my ministry? What does my family most need? How do I improve my marriage, my relationship with my spouse? How do I grow my finances? What do I need to do to grow my faith? Ask God, and then just be quiet and allow the Lord to speak. Even in the face of adversity, oftentimes we want to do all the talking, and we talk to everybody who will listen except God. And then when we go to Him, we don't take the time to listen for God to answer us in prayer. So do the 2-to-1, twice as much listening as it is I'm talking. Meditate and then allow God to speak. Of course, look at your own circumstances. In your leisure, read Acts 16:6 through 10. And this is an amazing text when we sometimes have our own plan. And Paul said, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. There are some times in our lives where God is trying to direct us, and even though we have our own plan, if we haven't consulted with God and we're just trying to work our plan, thanks be to God, He will interrupt our plan and reroute us. during this Lenten season on your journey, I pray you will let God reroute you. Sometimes it may feel in that being rerouted like it's a problem. Again, that's back to our attitude. It was an opportunity for ministry, sometimes having to be rerouted. And so we would that as you face whatever adversity you face, that you would be mindful that the Word of God does, in fact, remind us that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. There is a tremendous connection between adversity and suffering and the development of godly character. And Romans 5, 3, and 4 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope matters even in the face of adversity, no matter what we're looking at. Being able to see what we've got to face, but to recognize that on the other side of that, God has something for us, that God is with us at all times. And if nothing else, we can never, ever lose hope as we go through those things. And if you understand that out of suffering comes a hope, comes some endurance spiritually, comes character and godliness, then we recognize that hope matters. We recognize then that character matters, how we address, how we face things, how we allow ourselves to deal with difficulty matters as Christians and what we say about who we are. Adversity often will test our character. Grace matters. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 10, Paul said he three times pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him, that thorn in his flesh, but the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. You and I at times may not want, just like Jesus, to face whatever we're facing, and we may ask, you know, God, is it possible for you to just let this pass me? God, can you just move this out of the way? Recognize, though, that even in the midst of adversity, we can be walking in the will of God and still have to face and suffer some things. But we can know that God's grace is sufficient to carry us through. It's why we've got to be able then to discern how God wants to move. Paul prayed three times. Jesus prayed three times. You and I, every now and again, ought to adopt that three-prayer time. And if the Lord's grace is sufficient, if that's the answer, then we ought to be able to get up and move through the process towards our purpose, even in the midst of adversity and opposition. The last thing I want to say as I close is that leadership matters, even for those of us who find ourselves in various roles, whether it's ordained clergy or lay leadership, who find ourselves having to go through even while we're serving. Amen. That in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, Paul encourages Timothy. He said to endure hardship with us. Amen. Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, leadership doesn't come with an out button that when you are going through, you get a pass from having to do the work that God has assigned to your hand. Of course, we must care for ourselves when we're dealing with adversity, when we're dealing with difficulty, when we're dealing with distress or disappointment, but we still got to serve. Christian servant leadership requires then a strong commitment to the purposes of God, even at the expense of our ability to get back in the bed and put the covers over our head and pray for daylight when we're really going through. We must be prepared as leaders to go the more difficult way if that's where the Lord leads. Kingdom leaders are servant leaders who have demonstrated an ability to handle adversity in a healthy way. That is, enduring all kinds of personal opposition, accusation, judgment, persecution, physical illness, breakdown in our relationship, issues on our job, without bitterness, without needing to get revenge, without being defensive, and without lashing out against others. That's a tall order. I'm still struggling with some of those. But kingdom leaders are servant leaders. Notice I didn't say who get a pass, but who demonstrate an ability to handle adversity in a healthy way. That's the burden of the cup. It's not failing to ask God for a pass. Jesus himself even did that. The burden of the cup isn't simply dropping the cup and running away. The burden of the cup is recognizing our own humanity and crying out to God, even in the midst of facing adversity, and then trusting him and continuing on in the faith and continuing on in our purpose and in our gifts and in our graces and allowing God to use us even in the midst of difficult circumstances. I am reminded of Andre Crouch's, "I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong." It's the chorus, though. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. In the end, that's the only way that I can make it when I'm carrying and facing the burden of the cup in order to stay in his will, even in those moments. It's trusting him for everything. God bless you.
Reverend Walker, we want to thank you tonight for sharing with us from your heart. And before we just open up for maybe two or three questions, because we certainly want to honor our time. We started a little late, and that was my fault, talking to a muted phone, so pray for me. But for those of you who would like a copy of Reverend Walker's handout and all of the things she talked about tonight, she has a handout, and I believe this handout will really bless you. You can email the church at Varick, AMEZ, at Verizon.net. So you can email the church. If you don't desire to email, you can go to the website and download the handout. And that's Varick, AMEZ, .org. For those of you who have the Varick app, you can just click on the app on your Android or your iOS device, and you can also download from the app. It's actually on the Varick app. So anyone who desires to have the handout on tonight, and for those of you who are local, we will make sure that there are some available for you on Sunday. But for our guests and our friends and family joining in, we encourage you to use our website and or our email, and we'll make sure that you get the handout. Are there any questions tonight? That means you'd have to take your phone off mute, and I would simply ask that you would just be respectful of someone else who may be sharing. Let me do this before we open the call up. I am not sure which night he will be joining in, but Bishop Moore, are you on the line? Okay, he is aware, and he will be joining in as his schedule permits. Are there questions?
Pastor Huggins, Reverend Walker, this is Gloria Height. I can't say that this is a question, However, before we got on the phone, as I was reading and concentrating on that verse, and I thought about this cup, and this cup became so powerful in my life as I began to search, what is my cup? Because the cup figuratively used, there's the cup of thanksgiving, there's the cup overflowing, there's the cup of salvation, the cup of suffering. The cup is referred to in so many areas of the Bible. But what I do know, I thank you, and I know that I have to know him for myself and realize that it takes firm trust and belief and obedience, because the cup can be very powerful in our lives as leaders. And that's just a comment that I would need to make.
There are others who desire to share. Sister Height, thank you for sharing. Reverend Walker, you may want to speak to that, but as she was sharing, I was thinking the cup is not specific to one thing.
That's
I've
right.
discovered in life that
mm-mm.
I can have tears in my cup and joy in my cup all at the same time.
That's mm-hmm. right.
So your cup is not simply always relative to adversity. There is so much that goes into the cup. But oftentimes we wanted to correlate it to the Lenten season when Jesus let this cup pass from me, the
mm-hmm.
pain and the frustration and the isolation that sometimes fills our cup. You know, so Reverend Walker, you may want to speak to it, and if there are other persons who desire to ask a question, then we certainly invite you to do so, because we don't want to keep you on longer than we should, but we do want you to engage our presenter.
I do. I would only say, and I had the same thought around the cup as Sister Height was talking, that certainly in the 23rd Psalm, you hear my cup overflows, you know. And so this idea of the cup being only filled with bitterness, for Christ, it was only bitterness. And for us, it can be a mixed blessing. It can be, I'm like you, I can have both joy and tears at the same time, by the way. The very thing that causes me to weep may also cause me to laugh. And I'm discovering that in this season of grief and bereavement, that some of the same things that, you know, really press my heart some days also make me laugh while the tears are falling. And so there is no one cup, and it's universal to all of us, and it's different in different parts of our lives. The one thing, though, that I would say, even with that said about the cup, is that we all have a cross. And as Sister Height was talking about, what is it that I have to take up daily? What do I have to shoulder? What do I have to deal with? What is God calling me specifically to do, to deal with, to handle, to go through? That, I think, is the work of our spirits with the Holy Spirit and discerning where God is calling us.
Thank you.
Good evening, Presiding. Again, I have a question. When the cup seems so heavy, when do you know when to let go and just rest?
I am going to defer all calls to our presenter. So, Reverend Walker,
sure.
Do you want to?
Sure. I think part of the challenge, and I think I recognize this voice, but part of the challenge that we have is sometimes knowing when the cup is ours to pick up at all.
Okay.
That's the first issue, because remember, he says that that we can cast our cares on him, right? That his burden is easy and his yoke is light. So oftentimes I've discovered there are times when I just fail to relinquish that is heavy, that I can't carry. And sometimes I fail to relinquish it even after God has made his will clear and he's given me instruction for how I'm to move and how I'm to deal with that thing. Sometimes I'm slow to do what God has said, and I'm just holding on to the heavy thing.
Okay.
Trying to deal with it myself. So sometimes it's being able to hear God. One, is it your cup to carry? Two, has God already spoken, and have you been able to hear and discern him giving instruction about how to deal with that cup? And then third, is it possible that you're still stuck just holding the cup versus moving? Because sometimes the things that God calls us to do in order to go through seem harder than holding on to where we are. Sometimes I'd rather just be here in pain than to go through what I perceive to be, one, might be something unknown, two, where I perceive that the consequences of walking forward, even by faith, might be more hurtful to me. Do you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's yeah. being able to discern, is this yours, even to carry? Because there's some things we pick up that just don't belong to us. There's some things that we struggle with that there's nothing we can do about it. And so the things that I know there is nothing I can do about it, it is outside of any resource, any knowledge, any skill, any gift, any grace I have. Those are the things that I know I have no business even trying to pick up.
Okay.
Those are the things. God, this is a place of total surrender. Because, God, I already know I can't do anything with this, or I've already tried everything. So then I've got to deal with complete surrender and submission to God.
All right. Thank you.
Reverend Walker, this is Carmen Sutton from Barrick.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you all have helped me with the question I originally had. When you were going over your conclusion matters in the five things that you highlighted. One of my struggles, real recent, and I believe that I will look through people who I've had a history with, maybe trying to help or encourage or whatever the case may be, that don't receive it. Instead of, and I'll pray for them too, because hope always comes into play. But you outlined the grace matters, and you talked about the Paul, and then Ms. Height brought up the cup, and you expanded on that. And I think you all helped me, because a lot of times I try to do things that I'm not supposed to be doing, but then I still wonder if I get in the way of, or don't respond the way that God, or when God wants me to respond. So just as recent as last week, I had to say, okay, grace, my grace needs to be activated. I need to do what I would want others to do with me in these situations, and especially God, and continue to deposit those things or words of encouragement or whatever, and continue to pray for them diligently, and not just give up just because I know or I see or, you know, from what they've done before, even what, you know, I'm being shown. This is not going to take place right now, but I can still have hope. So I just wanted to share that, because you all really helped me pick that apart, and it's kind of like confirmation for where I am with this now.
Bless you. One of the things that You actually just blessed me with something I'm dealing with and struggling with. And immediately I heard the Holy Spirit say, some plant, some water. But God gives the increase. Sometimes we see it as a problem or a challenge when what we invest, what we pour into people doesn't immediately show results. What we put into ministry, what we put into a project, sometimes we take it personally, and we forget that we are not sovereign, we're not supreme, that God is calling us to do our part and to do a work. And part of the trust and the obedience, the trust and obedience is knowing that God, he already knows the end of the matter. We only know the part that we see. And being able to continue to be faithful even when it feels like you're not making any traction. Sometimes, I mean, for me, it's like when I feel like I'm going backwards in a matter, it's like, oh, Lord, this is getting worse, not better. I just want to give up. No, But knowing how to stay focused and knowing how to trust God for the result, even while I'm in the middle of the process. I'm a results-oriented person, and I know you are too, Sister Button. So I understand the frustration.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, we are needing to come to a close, but I don't want, if someone just has a burning desire, is there anyone who has a burning desire to ask a question? And if not, we will seek to close our conference call. Hearing none, again, I want to encourage all of those persons who are sharing with us on tonight to join us on next Monday night as the Reverend Jonathan Counts shares with us, engaging in ministry while in the shadow of the cross. I want to sincerely thank Reverend Johnson tonight. I don't know if the music playing means it's time for us to get off.
It's like the Academy Awards.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that means. I got to figure out where this music is coming from. But
Lord.
It's all right. It's all right. I want to really, really thank Reverend Johnson because I was writing down so many things. How do we carry our cups in a healthy manner?
Yes.
Because when we carry it unhealthy, we make those around us unhealthy.
Miserable.
So many questions that came to mind, and I pray that everybody on this call tonight was blessed, and you are keeping in the forefront of this Lenten season, that all of us have a cup to carry. One thing I know is that we don't stay in the same place with our cup. Nobody
That's
fixes
right.
a cup of coffee and stands at the coffee machine and drink it.
That's you right.
fix
you gotta
it.
Move.
And you keep
you gotta
moving.
Move. You gotta move.
To the table, to the chair. You fix the coffee and you move. Whatever cup you have, you have to keep moving through adversity, moving through whatever comes. So, Reverend Walker Johnson, I am so grateful tonight on behalf of Varick and our Mid-Atlantic family and all of our neighbors, friends, coworkers, and family who shared on tonight. We're grateful to you for sharing with us. Brother Cunningham, we thank you, sir, for the prayer.
Yeah.
We want to encourage you to invite friends and family to come and share with us. As you listen, write your questions down, and prayerfully at the end of the sharing, we can come in and ask some questions and share with each other. Let's have a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for this day. God, now that the curtain of night has fallen upon us, we are ever mindful, God, that you have blessed us throughout this day. Whether we deserved it or not, God, your grace has been sufficient for us.
Yes.
Where sin is, God, we realize that grace abounds much more.
Yes, God.
I pray
Thank
tonight
you,
in the name of Jesus that you would bless Reverend Alice Walker Johnson, bless her family, God, bless her ministry, bless what you've assigned her hands to do. We're thankful tonight, oh God, for every person that called in on this call. We pray your blessings upon them and their households. God, keep us ever vigilant that each of us have a cup to bear. But God,
yes,
we know that with your help and by your grace, we can make it.
We can.
Now, God, bless every house. Keep us, God, until we shall come together again. We pray this prayer in the only name that matters. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Again,
God
everybody, thank you so much, and God
amen.
Bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Amen.
All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.